one of the latter chapters on Masechet Erev, and it's called Perek Kol Gadlos. And on the first daf in that perek, there's a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel that runs as follows. Min haTorah, when you have a Rishus HaYochid, you're allowed to carry in the Rishus HaYochid. It doesn't matter whether I live there, you live there, the other fellow lives there. Let's say I live on this side of the street, you live on the other side of the street. So I can throw something into your window, even though this is my family lives here. This is a Rishus HaYochid, that's a Rishus HaYochid. It's traveling in the air through the middle of the street. So the street, the worst it could be, is going to be a Rishus HaRabim. Maybe it's only a Carmelis, and the Rishus HaRabim is only Teifus up until the first 10 Tfachim above the ground level. And the Gemara says Carmelis also. The Chachamim introduced Carmelis with the Rabbanim along the lines of Rishus HaRabim. The Raisa called the Tikkun Rabbanim came the Raisa Tikkun. So the Carmelis is only Teifus Adasar Tfachim. So what's the status of the airspace above the first 10 Tfachim? The first 10 Tfachim is very low. It's over below my waist. Above the first 10 tzolk'im. Let's say you're on the second floor. So it's well above the first 10 tzolk'im. The Gemara says, the Aver above the first 10 tzolk'im, both in Rishus HaRabim and a Carmelis, the Aver has the status of a Malkum Ptur. Malkum Ptur, everything goes. You can carry whatever you want. So it should be permissible to throw something from my Rishus HaYochid into your Rishus HaYochid across the street. So that's a Takana Shlom HaMelech that the Gemara records in the beginning of the second Perek in Erevin, that Shlom HaMelech made a Takana. You know, if it's a different family living in one Rishus HaYochid, different family living in a different Rishus HaYochid, it's considered a different Rishus HaYochid, and you're not allowed to carry from one to the other unless you make an Eruv. So let's say you have two homes that are adjoining, two homes that are attached, and there's a doorway where you can lead from one house into the other. So you're not allowed to carry from Minotaur, you're allowed to carry from one to the other. It's a Rishus HaYochid, it's a Rishus HaYochid, it doesn't matter who lives there. And the Rabbanan, Shlom HaMelech, and the Takoni, you're not allowed to carry unless you make an Eruv. That Din of Eruv, they had service. Either I leave a challah in his house, or he leaves a challah in my house, and then whoever lives there lives there. He doesn't need a challah. Whoever doesn't live there, so I have to leave a challah in his house. So it's because I left some food there, it's considered as if I live there as well, as if we both live in the same house, and nobody else is on anybody. So this only helps the erev had service. The takanah from the melech only works if the two rishus hayochid are contiguous to each other. What if you have the street mopsik in between? And there's a different family lives in that Rishus HaYochid from the family living in this Rishus HaYochid, so the solution doesn't even work. You have the Yisr of Shlaim HaMelech and the Heter that he introduced for his Yisr that you make in Erev HaTzeres doesn't work because the two Rishus HaYochid are not adjacent to each other. So now the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Kol Gagas, records the Machlokes HaTanoim. What's the status of the rooftops? Let's say I have a house with a rooftop, and the rooftop has a fence around it, so the rooftop is also Rishus HaYochid. You have a house across the street with a rooftop. The rooftop is also Rishus HaYochid. We really don't live in the roof. We live inside the house. So, do you say, Kishem Shediyurim Chalukin Lamato, just like people live downstairs. And this is called Beis Shel Reuven, and that's called Beis Shel Shimon, after Takanah Shel HaMelech. So you say, Kishem Shediyurim Chalukin Lamato, Kach Diyurim Chalukin Lamailo. So the rooftop is called, that's a Gag Shel Reuven, this is called a Gag Shel Shimon. But you say, no, what do you mean? Nobody lives in the roof. Just like, let's say, the chotzer, you have a front lawn or you have a backyard and there's a fence around it, so nobody lives there. So it doesn't matter that this lawn is Reuven's property and he lives in the house. What's it doing? But he doesn't live in the front lawn or the backyard. So you can carry from my front yard to your backyard to the other guy's rooftop. That's a wheat paskin. Echad gagas, echad chotzeres, echad karpifos, any rishus hayochid that's mukav mechitzas, and nobody lives there, there is no dira, so there's no chumer, there's no takana shlam hamelech. So on the gag, that's a machlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah. Do you say kishem shadiurim chaluk and lamata, kach diurim chaluk and lamailon? So we paskin, all the gagas are all the same rishus. You can carry from one gag to the other gag to the other gag, they're all one big rishus hayochid, and there is no gzera shlam hamelech. So the Gemara in the first daf, and called gagas, has a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel on the assumption that it's not so. On the assumption that since Reuven lives in the house below, Shimon lives in the house below, so you're not allowed to carry from the rooftop to the other rooftop unless you made an Erev Chatzeres. Let's say they didn't make an Erev Chatzeres. So you're not allowed to carry from one rooftop to the other. Then we have it. Okay, period. You're not allowed to carry from one rooftop to the other. Then we have another din mid the Rabbanan. If you have a Rishus HaYochid which has mechitzas around it, so basically you should be permitted to carry. But it's easy to walk out of this Rishus HaYochid and carry something into an area where you're not allowed to carry. It's easy to walk out without crossing a mechitza. There's not a trick. There's no mechitza in front of you. How is that? let's imagine, for argument's sake, let's say all of Manhattan is surrounded with a mechitza. Because the way they built up the edge of the island, let's say it has the status of a mechitza. Fine, so all of Manhattan is one big Rishus HaYachid, but you can walk across the bridge without crossing any mechitza. Because the bridge begins in the middle of the bridge begins 5 blocks into the middle of Manhattan, or you can leave. There are tunnels and bridges leaving Manhattan and tunnels leaving Manhattan, so you can leave the inside. You can be carrying in the Rishus HaYachid, then you can walk out by mistake without crossing Mechitza. So that's an isim with the Rabbani. You're not allowed to carry in the Rishus HaYachid if it's nifratz lemakam ha'osola, if you can walk out of the Rishus HaYachid without crossing a Mechitza. So it should be like this. Let's say Reuven and Shimon have adjacent, they have attached homes, and they didn't make the, they could have theoretically made an Erev Chatzer, but they didn't make an Erev Chatzer. They forgot to make an Erev Chatzer. So you're not allowed to carry from one to the other. So we pass, and you're allowed to carry from one rooftop to the other. Here Rabbi Shmuel assumes you're not allowed to carry from one rooftop to the other. They're following the opinion of the other Tan. K'shem shedirun chaluk on the mato, kach dirun chaluk on the milo. So the Shaila is, not only should we not be allowed to carry from one rooftop to the other, shouldn't be allowed to carry on one rooftop. Because true, the top of the roof has the status of Rosh Hashanah, it has mechitzas around and around, but it's nifrat l'makam osalo. I'm not allowed to carry from my rooftop to the other rooftop, and the two are adjacent to each other, and there's no fence separating in between. If there would be a fence, 10 tvachim tall, separating on top of the roof, in between my rooftop and his rooftop, so it's not called nifrat l'makam osalo, but let's say there's no fence separating in between. So he shouldn't even be allowed to carry on top of my rooftop, because nifrat l'makam osalo, there that I can easily, by mistake, walk to the other, to the top of the other roof, and there's no mechitza mafsekes. But the shaila is, this is the top of the roof, but there's a big wall separating in between my building and your building. We share one wall in common. We have attached homes. So do you say that mechitza, good asik mechitza, that mechitza is oila adler akia, and on top of the roof, it's not like this. Top of the roof is mamash flat. There's nothing in between. Do you say that you have the right to imagine that if that wall that goes up 3 stories tall, separates between my home and your home, that's Oila Adler Akiyas, you have an imaginary, invisible wall on top of the roof, separating between my rooftop and your rooftop, so it's no longer called Nifratz Lemakam Hasala. But he's saying, no, that's Mechitza Shein and Ikaris. From the perspective on top of the roof, there ain't nothing there. There is no Mechitza. What do you mean? All the Mechitzas are below the level of the roof. Above the level of the roof, there are no mechitzas. So that's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, where the mechitzas shein and ikaris are good mechitzas or not. Moshe Feinstein wants to say, based on that gemara, that a lot of times the same mechitzas shein and ikaris are acceptable. There are different rules. Sometimes it is, sometimes not. So he wants to say, let's say the edge of Manhattan is built up, let's say for argument's sake, it's not 100% accurate, let's say for argument's sake, all of the edge of Manhattan will be built up like this. So it's not that it goes into the rivers, into the Harlem River, the Hudson River, like a beach. It's all built up like this, and this is considered a mechitza. But then you have the bridge that goes over, let's say the George Washington Bridge starts in the middle of the city, around 5 blocks in, and it goes over the edge of the island. So that's Shaila from Nifretz Lemokim Osala. So Moshe Feinstein says, he doesn't see that that's a problem. The mechitza over here is oilad l'rakia, and not only does it serve as a mechitza for the edge of the island here, it serves as a mechitza for the area above the bridge as well. Even though it's a mechitza shein and ikaris, I say mechitza is oilad l'rakia. So you look in the Chazon Ish, commenting on this gemara in Daf Peites, on the first daf in Perek Kol Gagos, the Chazon Ish points out there's a little thesis in the beginning of Perek Kol Gagos, but thesis says, basically, Rabbi Shmuel both agree that Mechitza Shein and Ikaris is not really good. On the level of their eyes, it's never any good. It doesn't help for anything. The only time it's a Machlekes, Rabbi Shmuel, where the Mechitza Shein and Ikaris is good is with respect to this Din Derabbanan. It's a Din Derabbanan, not a Chumer Derabbanan on top of another Chumer Derabbanan. You start off Takana Shleim HaMelech, that you're not allowed to carry from Rosh Hashanah Shel Reuven to Rosh Hashanah Shel Shimon. So not only from the inside of the house to the inside of the house that the other family lives, what about the rooftop? So the rooftop is a machlokes. What do you say? Kishem shadiyon chaluk on the mato, kach diyon chaluk on the milo. We passing. You don't say. We passing. You're allowed to carry from my rooftop to your rooftop. So they're working on the assumption, like the other Tana who holds that's called the roof of Reuven. That's called the roof of Shimon. So it's already chumra number one. But then you have Okay, so you're not allowed to carry from this rooftop to that rooftop. But what about carrying on this rooftop gufa? So what's the problem? I'm not carrying from this to the other. So you say nifritz l'makom asa. Nifritz l'makom asa also has a chumer midirabban. You're slapping on a chumer derabban on top of another chumer derabban. You're not allowed to carry from my rooftop to your rooftop. You're not even allowed to carry on. I'm not even allowed to carry minei be on my rooftop because nifritz l'makom asa. So with respect to this chumer on top of a chumer. So there's an opinion in the Gemara. Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, there's room to be made. Well, there you say that the mechitza that separates between my home and your home, milamato. So I say good asik mechitza, even on top of the rooftop, it's a mechitza sheni keres. That's acceptable. But to say that the top of the George Washington Bridge should become Rishus Hayochid, because you have two walls on the right side and on the left side of the bridge, and then you have this imaginary mechitza from the edge of the Manhattan that's built up. You say that it's Ola Adler Akiya. There is no wall, there is no fence at all. This is an imaginary fence. There is no fence at all on top of the George Washington Bridge. So you're going to say that the fence on the bottom is Ola Adler Akiya goes up. We imagine as if it goes above the other ground level. But that the Chazanish says that no one would say like that. Bein l'Rab, bein l'Shmuel, it's not so. Moshe has very different opinions in Eretz. All of his tshuvos are very unusual here. So Moshe assumes that it's not so. The Rishonim there, Tosis there, and the Rosh over there, the first daf in Perikol Gagas, they talk about this din of mechitza shein and ikeres. So they have cases. If you have let's imagine this is the top of a roof, and then the roof protrudes like this. So the Tosis and the Rosh say that this is also considered a mechitza shein and ikeres. This wall of the building serves as a mechitza for all the rooms inside the building on this side. Any wall of any building serves as a mechitza for the rooms inside the building. Does it serve as a mechitza for the rooftop? So you should say yes, it's Ola Adler Akiya. But if the roof protrudes like this, then vis-a-vis the top of the roof, it's called mechitza shein and ikeres, because the roof is mafsik, the roof sticks out. How far does it have to stick out? What if it only sticks out an inch? It sticks out an inch, so it's already Tognish. A lot of roofs protrude a little bit on top. So if it sticks out a little bit, it's also Tognish. So there are different versions. So the Chazanish thinks even if it only sticks out a little bit, he thinks it's also called Mechitza Shein and Ikeres. Others think only if it protrudes 3 tvachim, less than 3 tvachim is considered lovewood. So that doesn't count. But if it protrudes 3 tvachim or more, then it's a problem. Tosis and the Rosh say has to protrude 4 tvachim, because 4 tvachim is the Shia Mokom. So you have a Shia Mokom over here. So then it's called the Mechitza Shein and Ikeres. But if you have less than 4 tvachim protruding, 4 tvachim is something like this. If you have less than 4 tvachim of the roof protruding, then Tosis and the Rosh say you wouldn't call it a Mechitza Shein and Ikeres. Sometimes this is relevant halacha l'maisa. We want to discuss whether the top of the roof, not every roof has a market. The din requires you need a market on a roof that people use. Let's say my roof, they have signs up, they don't want anybody to go to the roof. The roofer who comes to fix the roof, if there's a leak, he goes on the roof. But the Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchos Chalamoid, when he writes the dinim of building a maka on Chalamoid, so he quotes in the Bir Halacha from the Ritva, Masechus Moed Katan, that you're not mechuyev to put a maka on a roof that's simply not used. Twice a year, the roofer comes to fix the roof, you don't need a maka for him, only if you have a Hishtamshus Kavua on top of the roof. So let's say you have my rooftop, it doesn't have a maka on top. The wall around it is not 10 tefachim tall, so would it have the status of a Rishus HaYochid or not? So you have the walls of the building go all the way up, it's 6 floors tall. The walls of the building go up, should be Ola Adler Rakia. But the Shad is if the roof protrudes on all 4 sides, all around and around, so then you say the walls of the building are considered Mechitza Shein and Ikeres vis-a-vis the rooftop, because the roof protrudes and considered a new ground level. So those Mechitza only relate to that ground level on the bottom. Does relate to the ground level on top. Avnei Nezer writes a loshen in one place that this is called siluk mechitza. Just like we were drawing pictures last week, if you have a whole area that's completely enclosed, so that area is mesuluk from the adjacent area. The mechitzas around that area no longer serve as mechitzas for the adjacent area. If you remember last week we had diagrams like this. Mechitza over here is only mechitza for the inside. If you wouldn't have had this wall and this wall, so then this mechitza would serve for this area as well. It serves for the whole area. But once you have these walls over here, so this whole area is mesulat mikan, and these two mechitzas here don't relate to this area. These mechitzas relate here. So you have to judge, are these mechitzas valid? Let's say these mechitzas are on stilts and those are on the ground. So then the mechitzas on stilts won't be laid in this area. So just like this, the concept of silut mechitzas, this whole area is mukaf mechitzas, and it's mesulut mekan. So that means the right such a lashon. If you have a building that has four mechitzas around it, so the mechitzas serve as mechitzas for the inside of the building, and then the roof protrudes all around. So that's like also silut mechitzas. Just like mechitzas that is standing vertically, vertical mechitzas over here, on the solid, the area inside, and these two mechitzas no longer relate to this area, so here you have horizontal roof. So the roof is like a seal of mechitzas. Misalik, all the mechitzas below no longer relate to the ground area, to the ground level of the top of the roof. Anyway, there is a topic of mechitzas sheni karis. It's sometimes relevant halacha lemaisa. Sometimes comes up. Yeah.
There are two things. There's gur aset, which is what that's when it goes up. What's one where it goes down?
Gur aches.
Gur aches. Could you say that even though it might not be gur asik from the sides of the building, but that it's good aches gave the roof?
Good aches means if the mechitza is suspended, it doesn't touch the ground. So I visualize as if here the table doesn't go all the way down to the ground; it's a little elevated. So even though it doesn't touch the ground, good aches means that I visualize as if I stretch it down, as if it's touching the ground. And that din of good aches we had last week only applies if it's within three tochim to the ground. If it's mukba, more than three tochim from the ground, it's gedoyim bokimbo, so then you have no right to say gurachis. So then we had the kasha, so what do you need the whole gurachis? Why don't you just say lovud? So that was a strong kasha. So that's what led the Chasam Sefer to say that sometimes you'll say gurachis, even if it's more than three tochim tall, if there are no gedoyim walking over there. And the Chazanish didn't like that. So according to the Chazanish, you have this problem. Why do you need the whole din of gurachis? It's irrelevant. It's always covered with the din of lovud. So that's a problem. Yeah.
Are there any other shittas about the gurachis? Because it seems
gurachis means I stretch it down. So stretching the wall down is not going to help for above the roof. Good asik. Asik means to go up, and achis means to go down.
Also, one other thing is that wouldn't it be a bent wall? I forgot the Hebrew phrase, but then yeah. So would it be if it's
Dov HaKum is a din, it's okay, yeah. Dov HaKum is a din.
No, so it comes up, it doesn't come up in Erevim?
I don't think so. So, Halacha Moshe Messina, it's okay. We'll soon talk about crooked walls. We'll get to that too.
Mechitza Tuli, like the Chazanish, is not just because of Gedoyim Bokim. It's Halacha, that's not a good Mechitza. Why does that work to make it a Suluk behind? In the front of the, let's say that has with the bungalow.
Yeah.
The front is raised, so maybe it's not a Mechitza.
Could be. See, if these two mechitzas are suspended from above the ground, but they're touching the ground level of the house, there's a floor to the house. So they are mechitzas vis-a-vis the inside of the house. So the whole first floor.
But they have to box out the back mechitzas. So that they have to be mechitzas that are valid for the inside in order to box out the back?
I don't know. That's a good question. A very good question.
Sure. It depends on the chazan ish and the chazan. If the chazan is like, if you say the chazan is wrong, but it is a mechitza, just it's gedoyim bokimbo, so then it really is a valid mechitza. So it could box out the back one, but it won't serve for the inside because it's gedoyim bokimbo.
I don't know. It's already above my head. Could be. Gotta sit with Yishev Hadas, yeah.
Why can we conceptually call the protrusion off of the base of the front building, like a balcony, like a kazustra, and then it would just have a different, like, Chorei Rishus Rabin, you would say,
Chorei Rishus Hayochi? Chorushas Hayachid is only if it's within, let's say, have a windowsill outside of the window protruding. So the windowsill has to be within 10 tefachim to the floor of the Rishus Hayachid. If it's a 10 tefachim higher than the floor, 10 tefachim lower than the floor, so it no longer has a din of chore.
But the roof is straight, I mean, it's all.
But the roof doesn't have any mechitzas, because all the mechitzas are below the rooftop, which protrudes, and none of the mechitzas are ala darakia. So the top of the roof is not a Rishus Hayochid, has no mechitzas. Oh, so this prevents you from saying good asik. If you have mechitza, shein and nikeres, if the roof protrudes, either an inch or three tochim or four tochim, different opinions, so then it prevents you from saying good asik mechitza. Yeah.
Didn't we say earlier about the statue, if you have a
pedestal,
a pedestal, so that on top of the statue, on top of the platform, where the statue is,
right,
going towards the area next to the statue and home something,
right,
that's the Rishon Yachin.
Shusha Yachin, right. So most of the Rishonim hold.
The wall go upstairs.
Right, so most of the Rishonim hold that that's not called Mechitza Shein and Ikeres, because when the pedestal comes to the top, here's the edge and here's the top. Only if it protrudes. If it protrudes, then it's called Mechitza Shein and Ikeres, and you can't say Gurasik. But if it doesn't protrude, then you can't say Gurasik. And the Ramban, that's Machlek, the Ramban and Rashi. The Ramban holds that just like if the roof protrudes, it's called Mechitza Shein and Ikeres. Even a tail b'shus harabim, the tail itself, only the actual surface of the tail has the status of a shusa yochid, and above it, it wouldn't have the status of a shusa. He claims that above the tail is a makam ptur, because the mechitza is not oila l'rakia. Every case of a tail is also mechitza shein and ikeris. So sometimes that'll happen af kamina. This machleg is Rashi and the Ramban, whether the mechitzas of a tail, which come to a right angle, comes to a point that doesn't protrude on top, is that also called mechitza shein and ikeris? We'll soon have an afkamina ladina. It comes up sometimes when nice. Okay, Pete Tikra, Yerub Isaisem, yes?
I just wanted to ask about the basic idea of the ownership of the Rishon Yachid.
Ownership is irrelevant. Who lives there is relevant.
So what happens if you have two apartments?
My family lives here and there, so the Gemara says, I don't need an Erev Chatzeris. There's no problem of Shlomo HaMelech never asked. The only chashash is I want to throw something from here to there, so the chashash is I may miss. If it's a little window, I may miss, but if it's a dead giveaway, even if you don't know how to pitch, it's almost impossible not to land on the other. So the Gemara says, it's Hetagom, I can throw from this side of the street to the other side of the street, because the Avir above Yud Tvachim is considered Makom Tur, so that's a free-for-all. And this is my family lives here, my family lives there. So there's no problem of Takanish Lamamel, so it's mutter. The only chashash is if you're afraid you may miss, then it'll fall in the middle of the street, then you're not allowed. That's the Gemara. Now the Gemara has another din, a Pitiki Yerbisoise, comes up every so often, Halacha Lamaisa, that if you have a roof on top of an area, let's say a bus shelter, so it has a roof on top, the area has to be Dalad al Dalad Tochim. Doesn't have dalad al tochim, then it's not called tikra. Tikra means tikra gabi mokom. So if you have an area that has dalad al tochim, so we sometimes do and sometimes do not consider the piha tikra, the edge of the rooftop, as if it were a mechitza and it's your resource. And what are the rules and regulations? One yes and one no. So the Gemara says that sometimes yes, sometimes no. So there's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. When do you apply pitikra your resource? So Rashi says that we pass in the halacha, you can't say pitik yerbisayisim on all four walls. If you have a roof suspended in the middle of nowhere, if you have a roof suspended and you want to say four times pitik yerbisayisim, that's not legitimate. But let's say you have, a lot of times you have a building and you have an awning protruding, you have a tikra, and you have one wall for the area directly below the tikra, you have one wall that's the front of the building. Then you have a tikra protruding, so you can say pitikra three times. So Rashi writes like that. Pitikra Yerbisayisim, you can say three times, but we Paskin, you can't say it all four times. Tosis disagrees with Rashi. Tosis and Erevin disagrees with Rashi. And they have a Gemara in the first parak in Sukkah, where the Gemara says you cannot say Pitikra even two times if it's Mefulu Zeken Egedzen. Means if you have two walls parallel to each other, and then you have a Tikra on top, so you're not going to say Pitikra Yerbisayisim on the two walls that are parallel to each other. The only time you will say Pitikra Yerbisayisim if you have two walls that are L-shaped, at right angle to each other, and then you have a tikra on top, so Taisa says that's legitimate. Then you say pitik yerbisayisim for the third and the fourth. So that's what the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos. He writes like Taisa, Pasha Pshat, he writes like Taisa, he's paskening like Taisa. The Mishnah Berurah is always looking out for a chumrah. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Ramah and the Rif have a different opinion. Their shita is that you only allow pitik yerbisayisim for the Ruch Revi'is. Min HaTorah, there's no need for the any wall on the Ruch Revi'is. That's the opening Mishnah in Erevin. The whole need for the Tikkun on the Ruch Revi'is is only a Takonim of the Rabbanim. And I tell it's enough if you have three walls. Either because three walls constitute a Rishus HaYochid, or because three walls constitute a Karmelis. But whatever it is, if you have three walls, you're allowed to carry already in the enclosed area. So the whole need for the Tikkun on the Ruch Revi'is is only with the Rabbanim. So that's why there's room to be Mekel and say Pitikki Yerbisayis. Now there's according to the Ramah and the Rif, the whole thing is only an invention with the Rabbanah. It's not really a Halacha L'moshe Misina. So the Mishnah Berurah recommends maybe one should be Machma like the Ramah and the Rif. But the Ramah didn't say that. The Ramah says if you have two walls that are at a right angle to each other, L-shaped, and you have a Tikra on top, you allow Pitikki Yerbisayis on the third and the fourth walls. So the Mishnah Berurah says, he tries to press it into the Rama. He says, maybe the Rama only meant to say that that's the maximum you can be mekel, but he's not really recommending you should be mekel. The simple reading of the Rama doesn't read like that. Pashtus says that the Rama is being mekel, like Tesis. And if you have two walls L-shaped, then you will say Pitika Yerubisaisa. And Mishnah Berurah thinks that maybe there's room to be machmir.
Why can't you say that it's like a Surah Pesach, that they're awning four poles of
if you'll have economy kam economy kan chagabema, it'll be okay. Then it will be
good.
No, a lot of times you just have an awning that's held up from on top of the building. You have nothing on the bottom. And sometimes even if you have on the bottom, that's a question, can you count that as a kana al gabehem? Let's say in order to be chayv in mezuzah, you have to have a economy kam economy kam kan al gabehem. What if you have a roof? So does the roof serve as the kan al gabehem, and you have to have something separate from the roof? You have to have, like, over here, this bar on top, and this is something separate from the walls, and on top, the bar there is something separate from the rooftop. So the Mishkan Es Yankov has a tshuva like that. He says, in order to be chayv in mezuzah, let's say the wall just comes to an end, and you don't have a separate frame. So the Mishkan Es Yankov thinks that you're not chayv in mezuzah. You have to have a separate frame, and on top also you have to have separate konet mashkof on top. It just touches the ceiling, so that doesn't count. Not everybody agrees with the Mishkan Es Yankov as far as the chiyuv mezuzah. The mechaber sounds like, and the Shulchan Aruch from the other day, because mezuzah sounds like if the wall comes to an edge, even though you don't have a separate thing, sounds also that you chiyuv mezuzah. But that's the Mishkan Es Yankov holds like that. So for some many, I'm achmer by mezuzah lechumer, but you couldn't be mekel over here by tzuras haPesach by Shabbos. We would insist, like the Mishkan Es Yankov, that you have to have. Kanagabem has to be something separate. You shouldn't use the rooftop itself. You shouldn't use the roof itself to serve as a kanagabem. You have to have something separate from the roof.
Does the Rish pasuk like the Rambam that you need four mechitzas for Rishus Yachid?
I don't think the Rish takes a stand on the issue. I don't think he discusses it.
Because then it would come out.
The Rambam, there was a contradiction. The transmission pointed out one place, the Rambam says if you have three mechitzas enclosing an area, one place he writes it to Karmelis, and one place he writes it to Rishus HaYochid. So the Kesh Mishnah pointed out the contradiction, so he said he thinks that the Rambam would hold that it depends what's the area adjacent, what's on the fourth side. If on the fourth side is a Rishus HaRabim, then the Rambam thinks that inside will only be a Karmelis. If on the fourth side is a Karmelis, then he thinks inside will be a Rishus HaYochid. That's what the Kesh Mishnah suggested to answer this contradiction in the Rambam. I don't think the Rif takes a stand on the whole topic.
To follow up from the previous question about Tzuras HaPesach, let's take this just for an example, right? If you have two sides are filled in, right, looking straight on, assuming there's nothing in the center on the third and fourth sides, right, these two opposite sides, if these are filled in, you see Tzuras HaPesach around. Is Rabbi saying that there has to be some sort of protrusion from each side for the Tzuras HaPesach? You look at this and you see.
That could serve as a Tzuras HaPesach, that would be okay. The only question is, let's say I have a building that's very long. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Tikkun Erevin that if you have a wall that's Dalar Amos long, that's called a wall. That's not called a Kana Mikan. The Kana can be an inch, 20 inches, 30 inches, but it can't be Dalar Amos. If Dalar Amos long, then it's called a building. So let's say the rooftop also, there's a limit, how far? If you have, let's say, a thing like this, that'll count as the kan al gabem. But it's going to be too much bigger than I consider it a roof. But I don't consider it a kan al gabem.
And to make it a kan, it has to be protruding out protruding from the wall. Would I suppose to consider a kan?
In order to be considered a kan min atzad, it has to be something separate from the wall.
Separate from the
wall. In order to be considered a kan al gabem, it can't be the ceiling of the room. You have to have something separate. Sometimes I'll say the whole ceiling is the kan al gabem. Sometimes I'll say, no, it's too big to be called the kan, and that's called the ceiling. So you got to figure out what the limit is. See, on the wall on the sides, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes, if it's dalanam is long, then it doesn't qualify. Then it's called the structure. On the roof, he doesn't say what's the maximum size. That if it's too wide, if the roof is too big, then I call it a roof, and then it doesn't qualify to serve as the mashkov, as the kan al gabem. So there is a dinapi tiki yarvisaisim. There is a gemara in Sukkot Tosis in Eridim quoted that Gemara Sukkah. Gemara Sukkah says if you have two parallel walls and you want to say Pitikra on the third and the fourth wall, Zek and Agedzeh, if it's Mufulish, they don't say Pitikra. So on the same daf, the Gemara has another discussion. What if you have there's a Mishnah in Sukkah like this. You still have places in that Tzvat like this, I remember once they. Let's say you have a Chatzir and you have houses like this all around, and in the middle there's no roof. I remember once stayed in a place 40 years ago in Tzfat. So we stayed over here and the bathroom was up over here. So if you had to go to the bathroom, you had to walk out in the middle, and if it's raining, so you get rained on. You got to walk in outside, there's nothing there. So let's say all of these houses have like this. This, each one is a house and has a doorway that leads to the outside. And in front of each house, there's a rooftop. So you don't get rained on if you're standing right in front of your house. You walk a little further, then over here, the rain is going to come down. So the rooftop is there all year long, and it doesn't rain through there. Over here, the rain will come in the winter time when the rain rains. What if I put schach over here? What if I put schach over here? Can I count this as a sukkah to the outside of the mitzvah sukkah? Well, where are the walls? So the walls are over here. The front of here, the walls, the back of the building. These walls are the front of the building, over here. So if the wall of the front of the building is within Dalar Amis to the beginning of the schach, usually the Mishnah says the wall has to be within three tochim. If you have a gap of Aber Gimel tochim, so the schach is not mitzvah to the tfanis. What happens if you have schach posel around the edge? So that you allow up until Dalar Amis, that's called Eifen Akum. If there's more than Dalar Amis, then it's no good. So what if you have more than Dalar Amis in front? What if you have a gap of more than Dalar Amis in between the wall in front of the buildings in the beginning of the schach, and you can't say Eifen Akuma? So you're not Yaitzeh the Mitzvah Sukkah over here. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, why don't you say Pitikra Yerubis Eisen? This is the Hatikra in front of every house. There's this rooftop, the Tikra, that say Pitikra Yerubis Eisen. So this is the edge of the whole Tikra. So we paskin, Rashi says, we paskin, you only say Pitikra three times and not four times. So you can't say Pitikra all around and around, all four times. Let's say there was one opinion in the Gemara, Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. One opinion held that you even say Pitikra all four times. On all the four walls, you can say Pitikra. So would he say over here that you can say Pitikra Yerba Seisim four times? So the Gemara says, no, that's not correct. This Tikra was made to serve, it wasn't made to service, it's not a Tikra for this area in the middle, it's a Tikra for the area below. So the Gemara says, the din of Pitikra Yerba Seisim doesn't work over here. To consider the edge of the Piha Tikra is over here, to consider this Pi Tikra as a Yerub Viseisim for the area inside here. This Tikra doesn't relate to that area. So Moshe Feinstein in his Tshuva understands from this Gemara, he has also unique, different shot. Everything in Eridim is different by Moshe. So he says, what the Gemara tells you is that Pi Tikra only works if it was built as a Tikra for that area. Since this was built as a tikra for the area below it, it was never intended to serve as a tikra for the sukkah area, so it's not called pitikra of the sukkah. So Meir Moshe says there was a possibility of counting the trains in New York half of the time go under the ground, and sometimes they go above the ground. So when they go above the ground, so you have the floor of the train that supports the train, it shouldn't fall down. So you have a lot of times a tikra, or a lot of times you have, let's say, in Columbia Presbyterian, a lot of times you have hospitals or universities, so they have two buildings across the street from each other, and then they have a bridge that goes across from one building to the other. So why do they build the floor of the bridge? They built it to protect the people downstairs who are walking on the ground from getting snowed on. No, they built it as a floor for the people on top, that the people should be able to push patients from one building to the other without taking the patients outside. So since it was built as a floor, or let's say the train station on top, the elevator. So the floor of the elevator wasn't intended to serve as a tikra for the ground level below. It was intended to serve as a floor for the trains above it. So Moshe writes in his Sefer, based on this Gemara Sukkah, that you don't apply pitikra over there. Let's say you have, I'm not so familiar with Flatbush. I think they made an area from Flatbush around three sides, and then the fourth side is on McDonald, there's an elevator. I think they use Pitikra Yerba Seisim for the fourth side. So Ramosha says that that's no good. Since the elevator, the floor of the elevator trains wasn't intended when they built it, the Kavanah was not to serve as a roof to protect the people below from getting rained on, but rather to serve as a floor, So that doesn't qualify as Pitikei Rabbi Sosa. The Pashtus and the Gemara, they ask a lot of kashas against Rav Moshe, because there's a Beferish Tosefta that the Gemara quotes. It talks about a Gesher, about a bridge that goes from one building, from one side of the street to the other side. The Gemara talks about Pitikei Rabbi Sosa. Gemara says you have two sides of the street, so you have the buildings, service to Mechitzas, and then you have a bridge that goes across, and maybe you say Pitikei Rabbi Sosa on the two edges of the Tikkur. It's Mefulash. So based on the Gemara in Sukkah, you wouldn't say Pitikei. The Gemara in Erevin talks about such a possibility. I built the bridge. The floor of the bridge was intended to serve as a floor. It was never intended to serve as a rooftop. So the Pashtus in the Gemara is not like Rav Moshe. What's with this Gemara? This Gemara means a different thing. Pitikei Yored V'Soisem is only considered a mechitza vis-a-vis the area below the Tikra. Here, for the area inside where you put your schach for the Sukkah, so this is not a Tikra for that area. It's only a Tikra for this area direct below it. So you would only say Pitikei Yored V'Soisem. It serves as a mechitza, possibly, maybe, yeah, maybe not, for the area below it, but not for the area adjacent to it on the other side. So let's say they're in Flatbush, it would be relevant. There, when they made the Arabs, I think the story goes that they had that's a pesa, fences, walls, whatever, goes like this, and then they have the elevator that goes like this. So even according to the Rambam and the Rif, the biggest chumrah, that you only say Pitikra on the Ruch of this, here I think they have three walls, and they just want to use Pitikra for the fourth side. So the Gemara would say like this, based on this Gemara, you can't use this edge, this is the elevator, you can't use the near side of the elevator, you can't use, because the elevator is a tikra, it's only a tikra of same for the area below it. It's not a tikra for the area adjacent to it. This is the area adjacent to it. So if you're going to have your Arab is going to go up until this side, you're going to have economy khan. This is Tzuras HaPesach, from here to here, from here to here, from here to here. This is all Tzuras HaPesach. And then everything goes up until this point. Then I'm going to say, Pitikei Yored V'Soisem over here, and that's the Ruach Revius of the Erev. So that's not legitimate, because this Tikra only serves as a Piyah Tikra is only for the area below. So if you'll have the Mechitzas on the ground level below, it'll go to the far side, it'll go to across the street. The mechitzas, the Erev on the ground, what we call it, Tzuras HaPesach on the ground, goes to across the street, and then you use the far side of the Pitikra. So the far side of the Pitikra is Yored V'Soisem for the area directly below the elevated. So that's good. So that area will be included in the area. The area will go all the way here and below it. And then the Pitikra will go for the area below it and the rest of the Erev. That will be legitimate. So based on the Gemara Sukkah, you won't be able to use the near side of the Pitikra because it's only considered a mechitza vis-a-vis the area directly below, not for the area adjacent to it. But if you use the far side, the peak dip on the far side, that should be legitimate.
Is anybody arguing that you can't use Pitikra when the walls are Tzuras HaPesach, or that you did that Tzuras HaPesach is equivalent to a wall than a Pitikra?
Not familiar with anyone who disagrees.
Why wouldn't it be Silek Mechitza for the close side of the Yesha?
Why wouldn't it be Silek Mechitza? Where should you say Silek Mechitza?
On the closer side to the earth.
Yeah.
That should be Mesalek.
Mesalek, why the whole
area
belongs?
The other side, because it's only for this area that it was created. It wasn't created for...
You only say Silek Mechitza in Hilchas Shabbos if you have Mechitzas that are makif the whole area around and around. We said to Kilayim, there's no din of mechitza hamakefes, just a mechitza hamapsekes between one mishus and the other. On this side of the fence you plant grapes, on the other side of the fence you plant grain. But for Shabbos there is no din of mechitza hamapsekes, it's a din of mechitza hamakefes. So if it's makif the whole area, then you say it's mesulach mekamer here. Nothing is makif the whole area. This side will say pitikei Yored V'Soisem, but it doesn't lead to anything. It's
no,
not makif.
But if you extend the bridge or you extend the elevator, you're going to get to a wall at some point.
The elevator keeps on going many blocks, yeah.
And then there's going to be an end.
There are going to be walls all around it, but
yeah,
I don't think there's anything nearby.
Which means you can, you know, draw a line around that area. How is that different from a regular venue?
You have to see where it leads to.
But if it's a, look, there's some that go into the ground and there are some that just end, you know, hanging in the air.
So let's say it ends hanging in the air.
Then you have
it goes
a wall
into the ground, so for sure.
So if it goes into the ground, then
sure there's no, you don't have a Rishus HaYochid.
Right. that's probably okay. But if you, but if it hangs in the air,
so where do you have a fourth mechitza?
Well, let's say it hangs in the air on both sides.
Yeah, notice, you have to have at least two walls like this. That's how they're shulchan aruch. There are more paskins like this. You have to have two walls L-shaped. And then you say you can say pitikra on the third and the fourth. But if you have three like this, you can say on the fourth. So here, you have three walls with tzuris ha-pesach, and I say pitikra on one wall. But if you're going to ignore this, you're just going to say pitikra on the two sides, on two sides of the elevated. So that's mefulash. On two sides opposite each other, you don't say pitikra. That's to lead up to something. It doesn't lead up to anything.
Oh, so you say, since you can't say pitikra for the closer wall, therefore you don't have a problem of silik mechitza, because it's not a good mechitza anyway.
You can't say pitikra on the closer wall,
which means
it's this area.
Right, because so then it's not a real mechitza. So
right.
You can say it on the far wall, and there's no din of silik mechitza, because the closer one isn't really a wall.
I think so. I think that's correct. I think that is correct.
We say on pitikra on the
kulah,
we use it even
for name fasting. That's a deal. In the next section, Perek Dalet, we're going to talk about how to make a tzuras ha-pesach, rules and regulations. We have to try to get to it today. So the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Tikkun Erev, and Tikkun Erev is written by the Nesivos. He wrote a sefer on Hilchos Pesach that's called Mekor Chaim. And the end of the Mekor Chaim has one page that's called Tikkun Erev, and in every line he has another din, another din, another din. It has around 500 dinim and one page. Every line is another din. And he doesn't give any Mekoris and doesn't give any reason. Just writes the dinim like a kitzur shulchan aruch. So that's why some of the dinim that he wrote are questionable. We're not sure exactly what he's driving at. So one of the dinim that Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Tikkun Erev is, let's say you want to make an Erev in an area, and you have a problem, they're not going to let you put a pole in the middle of the street to put a string on top. So I'll put a pole inside my house, I'll open a window and have the string go out of the window. So the Tikkun Erev says that's not acceptable. If you put a konetach v'shusayachi, that's silik mechitza. The whole inside of the house is mukaf mechitza around and around. So you can't start the Erev in the middle of the house. Some people want to put the pole of the Erev on top of a rooftop. So for sure, silik mechitza. The whole building is a rishusayachid. So you can't say the pole is on top of my rooftop, goes on top of the rooftop of the pole on the other rooftop. It's like a joke. The pole for the tzuras ha-pesach has to be contiguous to the area that's being closed. You can't have a terch rishusayachid. So that's why some svarim quoted, one of the gedolim quoted from an earlier sefer. He pashut misquoted. He thought that the earlier sefer wrote the following chumrah, that if you have a building, sometimes the building, on the outside of the building, is like L-shaped, and you have a roof on top. So if you have two mechitzas, let's say if this would be four tvachim, maybe it is four tvachim, no. If this would be four tvachim, this would be four tvachim. Less than four tvachim is not a rishusayach. So if this would be four tvachim, a lot of times you look at the hotels, a lot of times like that, you have an indentation, you have two walls, sometimes you have three walls, and then you have a pitikra on top that serves as the fourth wall, or the third and the fourth wall. So then if you're going to put a konen, you're going to put a pole for an Erev right next to a Jewish hotel. At the summertime, they want to have an Erev to carry. So if you put the konen over here, so one of the Achranim quoted, one of the earlier Achranim, that's no good because that's a konen terech mishusayah. But just like if you put the pole in the middle of the house, it's not acceptable. So if you put it in the corner over here, that's considered terech mishusayah because they say pitikah yervisayah. So others point out the earlier Achran didn't say a word about this. It's a nice idea. It could be that it's a chumrah, but the earlier one was talking about something totally different. He didn't say it. The question is it correct or not? So that's a shalad. Do you say pitikri yervisesim only lahakal when it's beneficial for you? Or do you say, no, it's an absolute halacha. Pitikri yervisesim is even lahachmer. So that's what some of the gedolim in the Sefer Leiv Avrohom, he has a true about it. He used to be a rov in Amansi, Rabbi Weinfeld. So he has in his sefer, he questions whether that chumrah is really correct. That's what some of the svarim write. You can't put an Erev, you can't put the kona of the Erev under the protrusion. If the rooftop protrudes outside in front of the building, so you can't put the kona of the Erev under the protrusion of the rooftop because they say pitikah yervisayim. So most of the time, you won't say pitikah yervisayim. It's only going to be a problem. It has to protrude for tvachim. If it doesn't protrude for tvachim, so it can't be a rishus hayachid. The only time it's a problem is if the kon is going to be terech rishus hayachid. It's only going to be a rishus hayachid if you have four tvachim outside. And we don't say Pitikir Ebisaisin three times like Rashi. So if you just have one wall outside, and then you're going to say three times Pitikir Ebisaisin, one, two, three, we don't accept Rashi. The only time it'll be a Shaila if you have two walls. If you have two walls, and then you have a Pitikra. So you want the edge of the Tikra to serve as the third and the fourth wall. So then there's room to discuss, and the Tikra protrudes four Tochim, and you have on the ground below four Dalal on Dalal Tochim. So then there's what to discuss. But very often, it's not even a Shaila, because the roof that protrudes doesn't protrude four Tochim. Or Tosis, Rashi learns on the Gemara Pitikra that it's only called the Tikra if it's flat. A lot of times the rooftops are slanty. Let's say you have a house like this, and the roof goes like this. So Rashi Shita is that you can't say Pitik Yerubisaisim because it's Ki or Zilo. It's slanty. Unless a lot of times you have slanty on top, then on the bottom is flat. So then the Mishnah Berurah says, so forget about the slanty part. The part that's flat is also Tikra. You can say Pitikra over there. But if you don't have the bottom part, you don't have this, you just have the slanty part. So Rashi Shita is that you don't apply Pitik Yerubisaisim in such a case. So most of the time it's not going to pose a problem. Years ago, there was one of the Torah journals that's still in business now, Amor. So they wanted to attack, for some reason or another, they wanted to attack Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky. So he used to go to camp Or Shraga or something in the summertime. Torah B'dan has a camp Or Shraga. So they had an Erev in Torah in the camp, and the Erev had one of the poles. It was under the eave of the building with the roof protruding. So they wanted to attack him, but Chas Hashem, they didn't want to say by name. So they said, Rabbi Yudkuf in Torah V'das, there's only one Yudkuf, Yankel Kamenetsky, Rabbi Yudkuf in Torah V'das, allowed them to make this in the camp, and it's scandalous, it's against the Achrayim. It wasn't against the Achrayim, because the only time it's a problem is if you say, Pitikir Yerubisaisim, you got to have so many conditions. Usually it's not the case. Usually there's nothing to discuss. The last section in Perek Gimel is an issue that comes up every so often when you're making an Erev. Let's say you have this wall, for argument's sake, is maybe less than, probably less than 10 tzvach. Let's say you would have a wall that's 10 tzvach in tall, so that's a machitza, fine. What if the wall is not 10 tzvach in tall in one spot? Let's say you have steps going up, so the steps, let's say, the step goes up 4 inches. Next step goes up 4 inches, and the step that goes up 4 inches over here is within 3 tzvach to this step that goes up 4 inches. So that's lavud. If it's within 3 tvachim, is lavud. So these 4 inches are lavud to these 4 inches, the next 4 inches going up are lavud to those 4 inches, everything is lavud to lavud to lavud. So it reaches a height of 10 tvachim tall, fine. So that's good. What if the steps are so wide that it's not lavud to each other? Bein hakol, it adds up to 10 tvachim tall. You have a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit there. So the inside of the area, wherever the Erev is, the inside of the area, you can't walk out of the area without bumping into mechitzas or lavud, but there is no one cheftz of a mechitza because it's not lavud to each other. So there are two opinions in Taisvis and two different mesichtas, in Sukkah and Erevin, Sukkah and Shabbos. There are two Taisvis in which disagree with each other whether that's acceptable or not. And the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish keep on going back and forth whether this is acceptable or not. So every so often it comes up that you have, well, you're making an Erev around a whole area. So sometimes you'll have someone's home is on top of a big cliff, and the cliff is in such a way that you have 9 tvachim going up here, then you have a big break, it goes in 5 tvachim this way, then another 9 tvachim going up. You don't have 10 tvachim in one spot. But Bein HaKol, you have more than 10 tvachim, and it's not lavud to each other. So that's a shayla halacha lemaisa, whether you can be mekel on that or not. Shayla and din d'oraisa. Okay. Let's move on to Perek Daled, the issues of Tzuras HaPesach. The first issue we discussed already, whether Tzuras HaPesach is a Din D'oraisa or Din D'Rabbanan. We discussed the Prima Gadim is Mesupik, and the Chazon Ish says that he's wrong. It's enough in the Gemara that it is D'oraisa, and the Galus Yanachrim defended the Prima Gadim. Then the Gemara says it's only considered a Tzuras HaPesach if it can serve as the frame of a door. The two Kanim kind of have to be sturdy enough to actually hold the door. And the door would be 10 tvachim. It doesn't have to be a door that's so tall and so heavy, such a metal door. It has to be a light door that would be used in that Medina. In Japan, maybe they use paper doors, but in New York City, in this area, they don't use cardboard doors. They use lighter doors. It has to be a delis that they would use in that Medina. that would be 10 tefachim tall. It doesn't have to be that the door would reach all the way to the mashkaf on top. It has to be a door that would go 10 tefachim tall. If the door would have been attached, the door would have served as the mechitza. So even though the door is not attached, that's good. So it has to be stored in a bria kedei lekabel dela shel kash. It has to be 10 tefachim tall, of course. You have kana mikana, kana mikana. Each kana has to be 10 tefachim tall, and the kana gabeyem has to be above 10 tefachim. Sometimes you have a string or a wire that sags. So part of the wire is below 10 tefachim. So that's a question. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva about that in Har Tzvi. So he has a fantastic chiddush. He says that if the section of the kana al gabehem that sags within 10 tefachim to the ground, if the gap in the kana mikam, here's the ground, kana mikam, kana mikam, the kana al gabehem sags like this. So let's say this part of the kana of the string is within 10 tefachim to the ground. So dal mehacha this, I consider it within 10 tefachim is no good. It's considered as if it's not there. So what would be the status of the Tzuras HaPesach? So he says, well, it depends. If the gap between this part and this part is less than 3 tefachim, he says, I would say lavud. And I would say this is a legitimate Tzuras HaPesach. I have a kana al gabeihem. Where did he get such an einfall that you have a right to say love it? So he quotes that in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote from a Gemara in the first paragraph in Erev, and if you have a mavui that has three walls, I mean, the Rabbanan have to put a tikkun on the Roch Revi'is. So the tikkun can either be a lechi or a kora or a tzuras HaPesach. So a kora means a beam that goes across from one building to the other. Let's say here my mavui has three walls, and then I have a beam that goes on top. And the beam has to be a tefach wide. Fine. So the Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, what if there's a break in the beam? I have a beam that goes out till here, and another beam that goes out from here to here, and the gap in between the two is less than 3 tefachim. They just say lower, so it's considered as if you have one kora that goes across from the top of this building to the top of that building, so it's good. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, if it's good for kora, it's good for Tzuras HaPesach as well. So the Chazon Ish thinks that that's not correct. We already mentioned the Chazon Ish thinks that if you have a wall that's within 3 tefachim to the ground, that's okay. You say lavud, and it's gurachis, and it's not gedoyim bokimbo, there's no problem. But if you have a tzuras hapesach, kanamikan, and the pole is within 3 tefachim to the ground, he says that's no good. You can't use lavud to construct the tzuras hapesach. The Gemara says in Erev and Daf Yeralef that pischi shamoi, if the tzuras hapesach is poorly constructed, it's not acceptable. So poorly constructed, you have to ask a goyish construction worker. You don't ask a rabbi who knows halachas l'moshe misinai. Lovud is halacha. Lovud is not the mitzvahs. People who build frames of doors. If they would build the frame of a door and the frame would go within 3 tefachim to the ground, I wouldn't pay him for the job. He did a poor job. He didn't construct it normally. So the Chazon Ish says that that's not acceptable. So the Chazon Ish would say this is also not acceptable. There, if it's love, what the Gemara says, it's good. It's not, there is no halacha of tischei shamayit, that's a din in Kairo. But here, where it's a din of tzuras hapesach, so tzuras hapesach has to be kedav diinshi, a normal way, the way a normal person would do it, and this is not considered normal. Then the Gemara has a din that if you have a tzuras hapesach, shasom and atzad, it's not valid. What does it mean, the atzad? So most of the Rishonim learn that atzad means like this. Let's say I have a pole over here. Here's the ground, the pole over here. And instead of putting the string, instead of putting a nail over here and tying the string around the nail, it goes like this. I wrap around the string around the pole. So it's around the pole, it's min atzad, but it's not agabem. So that's not normal. Here, when you have the frame of the door, you have a kon mikan, and the kon agabem is on top of the two on the side. So since the normal way to construct the Tzuras HaPesach comes al gabeyem, so that's the way it has to be made. The Taz has a kula that's not accepted. The Taz says that the only time it's not good if it's ben asad is if it's tied around, wraps around over here or over here. But if it's towards the top, if it's close to the top, then ben asad would be good. So most of the Achranim disagree with the Taz and they hold that it's not so. Years ago, this is very common. In all the bungalows and all the camps, they didn't know how to make a Tzuras HaPesach. It was scandalous. And this was one of the very common violations. They would just put strings and poles, and no one knew what they were doing. And recent years has been much improved.
What if the pole thins out on top? Sometimes like they indent or something like that, and you wrap around the indentation.
So it's really above the fat part below.
Yeah.
So the Chazon Ish writes about that he thinks that that's not acceptable. Since the perception is that it's min atzad, truth of the matter is that it's really al gabeim, because the pole is much fatter on the bottom. but then it thins out on top. So even though it is al gabeim of the bottom part, why don't you just say dal mehocha the upper part? I have a pole that's very fat up until 10 tefachim, and then I forget about the rest of the pole. The din is that the kon al gabeim doesn't have to be nogeh, the kon aminata, doesn't have to be touching. So why not say just ignore the upper part? So he says he doesn't think that's acceptable. He thinks that it has to be has to appear that it's al gabeim. If it appears that's minatzad, that's not acceptable. A lot of times, let's say you're banging a nail, you're banging a nail into the pole, then you tie the string on the nail. You're not tying the string around and around, you bang the nail in. If you would drill a hole through and through, the corner and the string would go through and through. So the Chazon Ish holds that that's good. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that that's no good. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Tikkun Ervin that that's no good. But al gabeh means has to be mamish on top, on the tippy top. And the Chazon Ish is masig, and in Eretz Yisrael that was the common practice, like the Chazon Ish was mekel. It doesn't have to be al gabeh mamish. You can say dal mehacha, the upper part of the pole. So then the Chazon Ish says on himself, if so, if you drill the hole through and through, it's good. So if you bang a nail a little bit, everybody knows a nail is not on the outside of the pole. An inch of the nail is stuck inside the pole. And then you have the string going like this. So if the nail and the string are going in the same direction, if the nail goes like this and the string goes like that, okay, so then you can't really consider the nail a hemshech of the string. But if the nail goes like this and the string goes like this, so why not say that the nail is a continuation of the string, and part of the nail is inside the pole, so it's al gabeim of the bottom part of the pole. So dal mehacha, forget about the upper part of the pole, let it be good the way it is. The Chazon Ish says no, since the perception is that it's min atzad, because you don't see that part of the nail that's all the way inside. If you would drill a big hole and you see the string clearly going through and through, starts over here and goes through on the other side, so then it's al gabeim, and I say dal mehacha, I ignore the upper part. But if you don't really see the part of the nail that's inside the pole, he thinks that that's not acceptable.
Does Rabbi agree with the Chazon Ish?
I think we should follow the Chazon Ish's ideas. He has very good ideas. He's very sharp.
Because in Pesach Frank, the Rebbe felt that would be pass on that Rebbe
to Pesach
Frank with regards to the Arab wire falling.
The lovewood, according to the Chazon Ish, is not acceptable.
He thinks so that also,
yeah, he has a Gemara. He seems to be right from the Gemara. The Gemara says it has to be Kiddi Abdi Insha. That's what it seems like.
So what carpenter makes for the wire?
That's a very strong point. That's a question how to read. There's a passage in the Yerushalmi. So the Girsa that most of the Rishonim have is, even if the wire on top is a string, a piece of string is good. The Meiri has a different Girsa. That just like the two poles on either side have to be brink de la kabel de la shalkash, so the kol al gabeim has to be buried to be able to hold such a thing as whatever other kind of a contraption people would put in order that the door shouldn't bang too much against it. So you're just going to have a string, so according to the girsa of the Meiri, it wouldn't be any good. So in Shulchan Aruch, so far, we still follow the old girsa that most of the Rishonim had. The one who published Simcha Zisel Brody, the Rashir from Chevron Yeshiva, passed away a couple of years ago. He's the one who published the Meiri on Erevim with all of his footnotes on the bottom of the page. He raises the issue, maybe we should reverse the Psak now. Maybe since we see that the Meiri had a different Girsa than the Yerushalmi, maybe we should no longer follow that. But the gist of the old Girsa was that the main part, the Prima Godim has, the main part of the Seres HaPesach is really the Kon HaMikan, the Kon HaMikan. The Kon HaGabeim is maybe it's only the Rabbanim. Maybe when I tell you, you don't even need the Kon HaGabeim. So that's why they're not so makhtar that the Kon HaGabeim has to also correspond to reality, has to be buried today, the Kabbal Dal Shalkash. So that's what we usually assume, that the top part doesn't have to be so scary. Okay, they're going to daven mincha in 2 minutes downstairs, and maybe we should run down and daven, and we'll finish the rest after Yom Tov. I'm actually going to tell you, everybody.
Thank you.